The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back once again, everybody. You know what I was thinking about yesterday was thinking about what makes a great Christmas story. You know how everybody loves a great Christmas story. Everybody loves It's a Wonderful Life, and everybody loves Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol and a number of other. What makes a great Christmas story? There's three elements that make a great Christmas story. First, you start off with a life of sadness and misery. Secondly, you add in a miraculous intervention. And thirdly, you rejoice at the beautiful transformation that takes place. That's what makes a great Christmas story. Okay, so for example, you take A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and you start with the sad, miserly life of Ebenezer Scrooge. And then you add in the miraculous intervention. Ghost of Christmas Past, and the ghost of Christmas Present, and the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And then you rejoice as his miserly heart is transformed into generosity and warmth and kindness. And that's what makes a great Christmas story. That's the way a Christmas story ought to be. Only trouble is, that's not the Christmas story that actually happened. What actually happened was, there was a sad, sad, cold, lonely world in which God miraculously intervened. But you know how that story went. He came among his own, and his own welcomed him not. And that is why, the very day after Christmas, the first thing we do is celebrate the Feast of a Martyr. So here's the Feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr today. And you say, can't we please just have a few days without the cross, please? And the church says, no, actually, you can't. Even after Easter, right? Jesus rising from the dead. Listen to the readings right after Easter. And what you find is immediately the apostles are persecuted for proclaiming the name of Christ. And that's a conflict that's going to go on until Jesus Christ has conquered every last human heart. The Prince of Peace was born into a world at war. And he'll conquer, right? But not by his birth. He's going to conquer by his suffering and death. And that's what you see in the life of St. Stephen. Here's one who perfectly imitates the Lord, dying just the way Jesus died, falsely accused, praying for the people who killed him, and even echoing our Lord's words on the cross, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." And look at what happens as a consequence. Stoning of St. Stephen, and they pile up their cloaks before a certain Saul, who we all know became St. Paul. And the blood of the martyrs becomes the seed of the church. Now that's the way it really unfolds. I don't know, I haven't been paying a lot of attention in recent years. Do people still get upset about the secularization of Christmas? I remember a bunch of years ago, that was like this culture wars thing. And I'll tell you when I tuned out from that little... Remember Starbucks came out with a red coffee cup? And people all said, oh, there should be a Christmas scene on the coffee cup. That's when I tuned out. I don't know if people still get upset about the secularization of Christmas, but it's not a worry. The worry is the sentimentalization of Christmas. The idea that this is just something cute, when the truth is, it's the beginning of a spiritual warfare in which you're called to be an active soldier and take your battle scars as well. You're called to help him fight this fight, a fight that he was born to win. And so we continue today. Let's echo the words of St. Stephen this day and every day. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and ask for his prayers to help us today. St. Stephen, pray for us.